Blog Talk Radio.
You in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course, good spirit. Today's show, we're going to talk about my story. I know a lot of you may find it kind of unusual that I'm going to talk about my story, but I'm getting a lot of people that are contacting me, you know, via email or meeting me in person or telling me that they've listened to some of the shows and it's helped them and different things like that. And also in networking events and other events that I attend. And a lot of people are asking me, what's my story? I've even had a few people that have just kind of come up to me and said, okay, so what's your story? Which I thought was really unusual. But I think the thing that moves me the most is that a lot of the people that I'm having the opportunity to speak to, you know, be it because of Blog Talk or because of other things that I'm involved with, have had very positive things to say about what the messages that they've gotten, you know, the feeling of the comfort that they've gotten, the help that they've gotten, the assistance that they've gotten, how they've seen things in a little bit of a different light, and it's helped them to move on with their lives or move on with a particular problem or have a better understanding of whatever it is that is going on in their lives at the time. So today, based on that, I'd like to tell anybody that's interested in hearing a little bit about me, a little bit about my story. And it's really not about me, it's about the journey. And the journey is something that each and every one of us goes through on a regular basis. We're all going through a journey. Everybody's journey is a little different. No one individual's journey is the same. But as one person said to me, you know, well, what qualifies you to be able to be a speaker? What qualifies you to share information? What qualifies you to feel as though you can help people? Well, first off, most of the times all I do truly is listen. And then from that, we move to the next area. And I don't give advice. People will ask me questions, and then I'll answer the questions to the best of my ability with how I would handle it or how I see it. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm not saying that they're wrong. What I am saying is that based on my experiences, based on my studies, based on my research, and based on my knowledge that I believe that I have, this is how I would handle it. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, please again understand that all of us need assistance. All of us need help from every now and then, everybody. And there's been hundreds and thousands of people that have helped me throughout my life. And there's people that have helped me that you may have heard this before that I'll never know and never will know. However, those people gave up their lives in some cases so that I could be here and so that you could be here today. So it's, again, my story really isn't about me. My story is just a little bit of the journey that I've been through. Well, as most of you may not know, I'm actually from the New York area. I'm from the New York area, was pretty much raised in Westchester County, around in the Bronx area, and grew up in New York. In New York, back when I was growing up, there was a lot of different things that were going on. You know, unlike a lot of children, you know, both my parents actually were around. Matter of fact, my father didn't die until I was almost grown. But, you know, I saw a lot of different things, and I had a lot of different experiences. And at the time that I was going through them, you know, I knew that they were a little odd sometimes, but I considered it to be normal. You know, I was pretty much an average kid, not average height. I was short. You know, grew up in the New York area. When I was very, very young, I was considered to be a genius. You know, my teachers loved me. And and I got above average scores. I was considered to be a very intelligent person or a very intelligent child. Matter of fact, I found one of my old report cards, and on the report card it said, you know, Zurian is a very interesting child, however, he thinks too much, which I thought was really wild, you know, to have a teacher tell you that you think too much. But again, like I said, for me at the time, what I was growing up with in my lifetime, I considered it to be normal. You know, I was an above-average kid originally, but then life started to happen. I started to notice things. And being somebody that was very, not necessarily open to new things, but was actually very observant, I saw a lot of different things as I was growing up, a lot of different things that probably scarred a lot of other children, and it had an effect on me too, but it didn't have as bad an effect. So I went from being a stellar student because of some of the things that had transpired in front of me and around me growing up in the New York area. You know, I went from a above-average student to about an average student and almost a below-average student because I guess the stresses of the different things that were going on around me were probably more than I was ready for. They were more than I could handle, just like for a lot of us. You know, you guys will hear me say from time to time, the same wind blows on us all, and it does. But anyway, so, you know, growing up, I ended up evening it out, coming out to be probably a just above average child coming through school. And I guess I ought to go back a little bit. Some of the things that made me see the world a little differently, made me pay a little bit more attention than other people were, let's see, when I was about 7 years old, that was the first time I saw somebody actually get shot with a gun. And the interesting thing about it was the person that got shot with the gun was actually in my parents' kitchen. You know, my parents, like a lot of parents back then, had some friends over, you know, and they played cards and stuff like that, and they were playing cards. My little brother, who I believe was like 2 or 3 at the time, was there. We were all in the kitchen. They were playing cards, watching the adults. And a young lady came in. Well, a young lady came in, and, she, you know, I don't remember who opened the door, but they let the lady in. And when she came into the house, she was crying. So evidently her husband was sitting across the table. So her husband was sitting across the table, and she started yelling at him. He started yelling at her. Then all of a sudden this woman pulls out a gun. Now, the interesting thing was my brother was actually sitting on the gentleman's lap. But this lady pulls out a gun, and when she pulls out a gun, of course, he stands up. He pushes my brother to the side. He goes to go towards her, which, of course, there's a big table in front of him, and she shoots him. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, well, that's that New York stuff. That's that crazy stuff in New York that happens to just, you know, to thugs and criminals. Well, here's the kicker. The gentleman that got shot was a law enforcement officer, and the person that shot him was his wife. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of that, but you figure you're about 7, 8 years old. That could have a really strong effect on you as you're growing up and as you're going through school. So as I was growing up, I saw things like that, random acts of violence growing up in the Bronx area and growing up in the Mount Vernon area. And it was interesting. It played its toll on me. Well, you know, so what happens with a lot of people, especially young people today, is they start to kind of isolate themselves. They kind of separate themselves. They kind of turn off their emotions to certain things. So for most of us, our outlets were stuff like, at that time, Star Trek and stuff like that was on. So Mr. Spock was my hero. And what did Mr. Spock do? Mr. Spock analyzed everything. Everything was logical. Everything was precise. Everything was in an equation of some sorts. So as a young child, I kind of took up that type of demeanor. I mean, I wasn't really a geek, but I was somebody that analyzed everything and tried to look at things logically and tried to be fair and consistent. However, like all of you, I was a human being. So as a human being, it was just a really interesting thing because, of course, Mr. Spock is television and he's a character, and it wasn't real. But as life went on, you know, some years passed by. First person I ever saw get shot, of course, I was in my kitchen. Then when I was about 10, me and a friend of mine, Brent, me and a friend of mine, we're outside, we're playing, because back then you didn't stay home, you didn't stay in the house. You know, pretty much you need to be outside playing in the playground or whatever in the summer. You know, you were outside, you were always outside. It wasn't like today where you could, you know, play Nintendo and all of that. Matter of fact, the first video game I think was Atari. But anyway, back in that time you were always outside. Well, another incident that happened to me and gives me a different perspective on how I see things and how I deal with people is that me and my friend, Brent, we were playing with a ball. It wasn't a football. It was just a ball. No, it was a football. So I threw the ball to Brent. Brent threw the ball to me. I threw the ball to Brent. Brent threw the ball to me because we grew up in the projects. It was a place at the time called Levister Towers. I don't think it's that has that name anymore. Well, anyway, I threw the ball to Brent. And this one time, Brent decided that he was going to come at me. You know, he was going to run past me with the football and, you know, razzle-dazzle. So Brent goes to run past me with the football. And as Brent is running towards me with the football and I'm getting ready to block him or tag him, you know, like flag football, just as Brent gets probably about, I don't know, 7 to 9 feet from the spot where he was standing where he caught the ball, all of a sudden, this woman hits the ground. Boom. This lady jumped from her seventh floor window. She jumped from her seventh floor window. We didn't see her falling. We only saw when she hit. And her last breath, now I'm a 10-year-old kid. Her last breath was just a strong inhalation of air. And then, and that was it. This lady had basically lost all hope. And because she lost all hope, she jumped out the window and took her own life. Again, 10-year-old kids, me and Brent. Brent was a little bit older than me, about a year. But either way, that was the life that I experienced. That was another one of those things in this fragile thing we call life, how people would do something like that or how a person would do something like that. To me was strange. And, you know, I talked with my parents, talked with my mom. My mom tried to explain to me that, you know, things happen and tried to kind of console me. But I wasn't, you know, hysteric or anything like that. It was just another observation at the time for me. You know, another tragedy that a young mind wasn't quite able to grasp but wasn't losing it about. So, you know, growing up, I grew up just like every other kid. You know, we played, we joked. You know, back in those days, we didn't have a whole lot of extracurricular activities, so we jumped fences, believe it or not. We, you know, played hide-and-seek, ringling coco, ring-alivio, things along that line, and played with my friends, you know, climb trees just like they do in the country in the big open fields and stuff like that. But there was always an air of stress. There was always some other different dynamics that were playing on in our everyday life, which was interesting. I remember when I was, I think I was 13 or 14. When I was 13 or 14, one day I was sitting in my mother's car, because my mom was the only one that had a car. My dad didn't really drive. He could drive, but he didn't care to. And I'm sitting in my mother's car, and me and my friends were sitting in there, and we're talking and laughing and joking, you know, and it's pretty cool. I guess it just kind of got dark, and back then, you know, as long as you were around the building, it really wasn't that big a deal. Your parents didn't have too much problem with it as long as you weren't out doing anything crazy. So we were just sitting in the car, minding our business. And while we're sitting in the car minding our business, all of a sudden, you know, one of my friends looks over to the side and says, "Holy crap, you see her?" And we're like, "What is he talking about?" So, of course, all heads look left. So we look left because we're sitting in the parking lot. And up the parking lot is this gorgeous woman, young lady, definitely very pretty, very attractive, and she is totally nude. Come to find, and holding on to like what little bits of straps of fabric that she could hold on to. What we ended up finding out was this young lady had been kicked out by her boyfriend, who had kicked her out of the apartment, took his clothes and whatever, because he had caught her, I guess, or assumed that she was cheating on him. So he kicked her out the house, took all her clothes, and basically said, "You're going out of here the way you came in." So she was actually walking through the parking lot in New York, luckily in the summer, at probably about, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night, walking through the parking lot buck naked. So I try to look at things in a very objective mindset, but I've seen a lot of different things. I've seen what's happened when people lose their minds. I've seen what's happened when people have gone to extremes that they shouldn't go to. And when I talk to people because I know that we all have our breaking points. I know that we all have our stresses and our pressures that we're going through in our lives. And again, I also know that nothing is perfect. So it's always interesting when I look at people and listen to people and try to understand what they're going through. And I try to be helpful. Why? Because I would want someone to help me. You know, again, like I said, I was an inner city kid growing up in New York, spent a lot of time in the Bronx and stuff like that. And again, for me at the time, it was a beautiful life. And it was a beautiful life because of the fact that I was young. I didn't know any better. You know, I was playing with my friends. I was doing the things that I needed to do. But I always found myself helping people. I always found myself counseling people. I always found myself trying to assist people. And, I mean, you know, life is what happens to us all. The same wind blows on us all. And luckily, I've just been that type of person that's been able to see things with a optimistic point of view and able to make people feel calm when they tell me their problems or when they talk to me, and helpfully help them to realize whatever it is, it's not that bad and that it can work out. I remember, again, back when I was about 13 or 14, I think I was 14 then or 15, my little brother comes running up to me. Again, it's funny because I was in the same parking lot. We weren't sitting in the car. Me and a couple of my friends were actually walking up the parking lot walk, which was an uphill type thing because we were from the incline. And we're walking up the parking lot. And as we're walking up the parking lot going towards our building, because there were about 5 apartment complexes all surrounding each other. Yeah, there were 5 buildings, 5 or 6. Anyway, so we're walking up the parking lot. So all of a sudden, my brother, I see him running towards me as fast as he humanly can. I mean, this kid is kicking it. You know, my youngest brother, Mark, he is running. Runs up to me, jumps in front of me, and goes, Zoran, you got to save me. Because back then they used to call me Zoran. So he runs up to me, and I'm like, what's going on? What's the problem? What's wrong? And, you know, my 2 friends that were with me, they're both like, yo, what's going on? You know, Mark, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, they're running up to me. And as he runs up to me, he jumps behind me, and I wasn't really paying attention, but there was a man that was running behind him. The man that was running behind him, now mind you, I'm like a 14, 15-year-old kid, and I'm not a big kid. So the man that's running up behind him, he runs up to my brother, and he says, I'm going to kick your little A. And my brother's like, not saying anything. He's just cowering behind me. So not knowing what's going on, I put my hands out, and I go, sir, you know, I don't know what's going on, but my mother and father should be home shortly. You can talk to them, blah, blah, all of this other stuff. And the man's cursing and screaming and kind of losing his mind. And I'm trying to calm the situation down. Well, then the man goes to reach for my brother. So when he reaches for my brother, I push his hand away. Now, I'm one of those kids that's been training in the martial arts for probably all my life. I started when I was 9. So I'm a pretty good martial artist, you know, not trying to cause any problems, you know, walk away, keep the positive mindset, keep your distance, be aware of your surroundings, all of that stuff. So I'm standing there, and I'm trying to calm this man down. And when he reached for my brother, I blocked his arm and was like, sir, I put my arm out. But when I put my arm out to this grown man, what he did was he moved my hand away, cursed at me, and punched me in the chest. Now, again, I'm a 14, 15-year-old kid you know, not even really weighing 100 pounds. Yeah, I was a little. And this man punches me in the chest. So at that time, all bets were off. As my mother would say to me, I don't care who it is, if they smack you or touch you, then all bets are off. So this gentleman that punched me in the chest, I looked at him not believing that a grown man just punched a child, because in my case I was considered still a child, just punched me in my chest. So when the man punched me in my chest, he went to go do something again. I blocked, I kicked him, and then I punched him. Boom, boom, kicked him again. The man falls. So as the man falls, he realizes, hey, this kid's got a little bit of skill. Now, mind you, I'm scared. I am petrified. I'm thinking, what the freak is going on? And why is this man hitting me? What's the deal? So what I do is I go to defend myself, do what I got to do. The man falls. Then the man runs, takes off. When he takes off, he goes and runs into his house, which is actually directly in front of our building. When he goes directly in front of our building, I'm like, what the flip? So he goes upstairs into the house that he's in. When he gets into his house, he grabs a freaking, who was it that he grabbed? He comes out, that's what it is. He came out with a hatchet hammer. Now, again, I'm a kid. I'm scared to death trying to figure out what is it that this man is doing. And why does this man have a hatchet hammer coming at me? So I look, I see the hatchet hammer, and I go, holy crap, this guy's going to hit me with a hatchet hammer. So, of course, I'm freaking out, trying to figure out what is the deal with this guy and why is he trying to hit me with a hatchet hammer. So I run across the street and I start grabbing bricks because there was some new construction going on the other side of 3rd Street at the time. So I'm running, picking up bricks, throwing bricks at this man, thinking to myself, what the flip? What the heck is going on here? Why is this man throwing stuff at me, trying to hit me with hatchet hammers and all of this other stuff? I'm literally freaking out. So somebody ends up calling the police. They call the police, and the police come. Somebody tells them where we are. I'm standing outside with my friends. Now, my parents haven't even got home yet. So I'm standing there freaking out going, what the heck just happened? Cops come up to me. They go, what happened? Well, this is New York, all right? Nothing is unusual in New York. Everything happens in New York. There's always something going on in New York, something crazy. So as I'm standing there talking to the police, I tell them the story. What do? They start laughing. They think it's funny. They think it's hilarious. So I'm like, okay. I tell them the story. They end up, of course, talking to my parents, telling my parents, you know, hey, this and this happened. They can press charges, all of this other stuff. From there, I don't know what happened. I don't know what the outcome of that was. But either way, my life has been quite interesting. Well, of course, went through elementary school, through junior high school, then high school, then didn't know what I wanted to do, just know I needed to get out of the New York area, needed to move on with my life because I saw a lot of, or had seen a lot of negative things. So I joined the Marine Corps. Joined the Marine Corps, became a Marine enlisted, then a staff NCO, then ended up being a warrant officer. Then, of course, ended up with a lot of responsibilities. Actually, I was an emergency services expeditionary airfield officer and also did some anti-terrorism and force protection. Then ended up being, also became a martial arts instructor and an overall instructor. You know, later on became a law enforcement officer and did law enforcement, a fitness instructor. Fitness instructor. Then worked in, like I said, in law enforcement for a while. which of course exposed me again to a whole different cadre of people, men and women, of all different shapes, sizes, colors, and all of the above, which was really interesting. And in my time, I also then retooled again. And when I retooled again, you know, we've all had many different careers, especially nowadays. You know, I also ended up getting into information systems, and I ran large information systems contracts for one of the particular larger agencies of the federal government. Did that, was a project supervisor, then a quality assurance officer or professional. Also became a program manager and handled contracts anywhere from, you know, a few hundred thousand to 7 million to 20, no, excuse me, my largest contract was $42 million. So in my life, I'm very thankful. And the reason that I'm very thankful is because I've had a lot of experiences and I've done a lot of different things. But I think the most interesting thing about all of the things that have happened to me in my life and all of the things that I've done in my life is that I've always been able to help people. I've always been able to bring value to people. I've always been able to give people answers that help them get to the next step that they needed to get to prosper in their own goals, in their own dreams, in their own desires. And now I'm actually leaning more towards that way. You know, now I'm speaking with people. I'm getting asked to do presentations. I'm getting asked to do a lot of different things that are forward thinking on different subjects. You know, I've worked with a lot of at-risk kids. I've helped a lot of people turn their, a lot of teenagers to turn their lives around, you know, be it through martial arts or be it through other programs. You know, I worked with Sexual Assault Victims Advocate Service and helped a lot of adults that have gone through some really traumatic stuff to help them to change their lives. Kids that have been failing everything. You know, several of my students have now gone to college, graduated from college, are back now getting their master's degrees, have started families, are living successful lives, and in some cases where there was no structure, in some cases where there was no person that they could truly rely on or depend on, you know, to where I guess I became a surrogate coach or father figure or somebody that they could talk to when the need was there. You know, even through high school, I asked the same thing. Junior high school, same thing. You know, when I was in college, same thing. So my goal now is to be more of a person that helps other people to make the transition, to be all that they can be, to understand that their dreams can become reality if they'll only believe and then put forward the necessary actions to follow up that dream, to make it come to fruition so that they can live the lives that they want to live. You know, I was amazed when I started writing articles and then looked back at my articles, come to find out that 43,000 people had read my articles. You know, when I started this, Blog Talk Radio, you know, the fact that over 33,000 people have looked at our profile and listened to our show is just phenomenal because, again, we don't advertise. But my goal, my mission is to try to be of service to my fellow man and of service to everybody that I can, you know. So if anybody would like me to be a speaker or if you'd like to look at any of the programs that I may have or tapes or listen to any of the shows, which are cost you nothing, or my blogs or my e-zines, feel free to read them. And if they're helpful, share it with us. Let us know or let me know that it's had an effect on your life that's been positive or someone else that you know that you shared that information. Been of use to them. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, like I said before, we all need help. Nobody's perfect. Everybody on occasion needs somebody, and a lot of us can't seem to find those somebodies that we need. So if I can be of help to anyone, please feel free to share with us. And again, if you'd like us to, or like me to come out and speak, or you know, if any of the other materials that I offer are of value to you, please share them. Please let us know, because it's a beautiful thing for me. Why? Because, like I said, a lot of people have helped me, so giving back is a critical thing. Again, if you like the show, in the upper left-hand corner, you can click follow and follow future shows. We truly appreciate it. again, because guess what? If you're not listening, all we're doing is talking to ourselves. But for all of you that are listening, thank you for listening to my story today, and I hope that it answers some of those questions that I've been getting. Again, we mean our best, and we're going to do the best we can to do the best we can always.